take up your cross, the Saviour said, if you would my disciple be, deny yourself, the world forsake, and humbly follow after me. Well, that hymn is based on the words of Christ to his disciples. The cross is at the centre of the Christian faith. It is on the cross that Jesus Christ himself died to save his people from their sins. There he went as a representative for his people, and as a substitute for them, he gave his life that they might live. But the cross speaks to us not only of Christ's sacrifice, but as in this hymn and as in the words of Christ, it speaks of something that God wants from us. He wants us to give ourselves, to sacrifice ourselves. In other words, we are called upon to cease following our own ideas, our own dreams, our own desires, in favour of obeying Jesus Christ. That's the theme of the hymn that we've just sung together. That's the theme of the Word of God. This is what Jesus Christ came into the world to do, to make disciples of us, to make followers of us, that we would no longer do our own thing and end up pursuing a road that leads to destruction, but that we would follow Christ, that we would do his thing and enter into that road which leads to eternal life. But to the natural man, this idea is not particularly welcome. We like to make our own decisions. We like to feel that we are in control of our destiny. We say, perhaps, to those who boss us around, well, who are you to say that I must do this or do that? What right do you have? Or we may say, well, don't treat me like a child. I can make up my own mind. I can do my own thing. The idea of handing our lives over to someone else is unpalatable. We don't want to be controlled by someone. We don't want to be a slave to someone else. That whole idea is abhorrent to us. Yet this is what Christ requires of us. Jesus taught that this is a crucial aspect of salvation, so much so that he required his potential disciples to weigh things up, to count the cost of following him, because he knew that it was something that wasn't easy. Maybe easy to begin with, to start off and to say, yes, Jesus is my Lord and my Master, and I will follow him wherever he goes. But will we? Do we understand that where Christ goes, where Christ leads us, is often through difficulty, is often through trials, is often through testings, is often through pain and suffering and anguish? He calls on us to leave the things that we love and to go to a place that we do not know about. He calls on us as he called on Abraham, to leave his family, to leave his friends, to leave all that he had grown up to love and to know, and to go to a land that God would show him, not tell him about ahead of time, not give him a map of all the journeys that he must do, not describe in great detail everything that would lie before him, but just to go and to trust in God and to follow God, just one step at a time. That's what Christ requires of us. And he says to us, are you prepared for this? He said to some, the birds have nests, the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He warned others who wanted to say goodbye to their families first, who wanted to break in a yoke of oxen first, who had other things, pressing matters that they had to do first before following Christ, well, they showed where their heart was. They showed where their commitment was. They showed that they weren't willing to pay the price of following Christ. You see, there is a price to pay for our salvation. Not that we can earn our salvation. The price is commitment to Jesus Christ. Total commitment to Him. It means letting go of any so-called rights that we think that we have to govern ourselves. It means to give complete obedience to the will of God. Well, some of those disciples did follow Christ. We read of how the apostles in particular, even before Christ had had time to teach all that he taught during his earthly life and ministry, they dropped their nets, they left their families, they followed Christ. And at the end of those 3.5 years of Christ's walk on this earth in their midst, they were prepared to drop everything and to go where he called them to go. You can almost hear them saying to him as he entreated them concerning the way ahead that lay before them, "Do not entreat me to leave you or to turn back from following after you. I've counted the cost. I've weighed up these things in the balance, and I am prepared, whatever hardship there may come, whatever suffering may be my lot, I am convinced it will be worth it all, and I will follow you." And that's what Ruth said to Naomi in Ruth chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17, which forms our text this morning. Ruth said to Naomi, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." Ruth had considered the sacrifice that she was to make in leaving Moab, in leaving her parents' family, in leaving everything that she had grown up with and knew, to follow Naomi, to take, cast in her lot with her beloved mother-in-law. And Ruth's memorable response presents to us a wonderfully vivid picture of what it means to be committed as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Ruth here in these verses makes 6 promises to Naomi. And each promise tells us something more about the Christian's commitment to Christ. So this morning I want to look briefly at each of these 6 promises that Ruth makes to Naomi and see how they apply to us as Christians. And the first promise that Ruth makes is that she will go wherever Naomi goes. And it's a picture of the Christian's commitment to walk in Christ's way. Ruth committed herself to going with Naomi to Bethlehem. But these words imply more to us than simply that she has agreed to go with Naomi as a traveling companion, that she will walk alongside her there on that long journey from Moab to Bethlehem. It tells us that Ruth is a follower of Naomi. "Wherever you go, I will go. It's with you that I'm going. I'm following after you. You are the leader. I am the follower. You are my teacher. I am your disciple." Ruth will allow her to determine the route to be taken and the details of their final destination. She's prepared to hand over all the decision making to Naomi. She's not going to argue with her. She's not going to sit down at the beginning of each day and discuss how far they'll travel and which route they'll take. and where they'll stay. No, she's just going to follow Naomi. Where Naomi goes, she will go. She has complete trust in her mother-in-law, and she's prepared to be committed to her wholeheartedly to follow her. And this is a picture of the Christian's relationship to Christ. We are followers of Jesus Christ. It's not a partnership where two equals determine together what should happen. We don't sit down at the beginning of each day to enter into discussion with Jesus to find out and to discuss with him what we'll do this day. No, we come to Jesus Christ in his word to find out what he wants us to do this day. There isn't any discussion about it. He is the leader. We are the followers. He is the teacher. We are the disciples. It's a slave-master relationship where Christ is in authority and we have nothing to do but to obey him. But it's more than that as well. And the scriptures tell us that the relationship is also that of a son and a father. The father has authority over his son, but it's an authority that is wielded with love and care and concern for the well-being of his son. And so we follow Christ and we obey him, but we do it with the knowledge that Christ is looking out for our well-being, that he's concerned that we are well, that we are healthy, that we are pursuing those things which are right and good for us. It's a wonderful thing to know the love of God as a father, to know that he is not simply interested in our obedience for what he can get out of it. It's not simply that as a master over a slave who wants to boost his profits to get the best out of a crop or whatever. God doesn't treat us like that. He loves us. He is concerned for us. Indeed, Christ said, "Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In comparison with other masters, you see, Jesus Christ is a good master, a caring, a loving master. And so when a person becomes a Christian, he or she dies to self and lives for Christ, relinquishes any rights, so-called, to determine his or her own destiny, and says, "Christ is my master, Christ is my leader, Christ is my teacher, I will follow him. I will go where he leads me. I will do as he tells me." This is the image, isn't it, of the shepherd with the sheep. That wonderful psalm that you all know so well. The psalm of the shepherd who guides his sheep and leads them beside still waters and into green pastures, who protects them as they walk down through the valley of the shadow of death. It is a shepherd who cares, and they are sheep who follow. Jesus Christ said, "I am the good shepherd. The sheep hear my voice and follow me." Are you in the flock of Jesus Christ? Are you one of his sheep? Are you one of his slaves? Are you one of his sons? Then you will want to walk in Christ's way, to follow him on this journey from this world to the next, from the city of destruction to the celestial city, as Bunyan so vividly portrays it in his book. Commitment to walk in Christ's way. Ruth gives us a picture of that there in her statement. "Wherever you go, I will go." But Ruth went further and she said, "Wherever you lodge, I will lodge," or "Wherever you dwell, I will dwell." Ruth agrees to go with Naomi. She agrees to follow her. But hers was not a part-time commitment. She was not content simply to be with Naomi some of the time. She wanted to live with her. She wanted to have her constant presence. She left her family and her friends back in Moab. She left all that she knew. All that she knew now was Naomi. She knew of the way that Naomi had cared for her in Moab. She knew of the great sympathy that Naomi had had for her in the loss of her husband. She knew that Naomi was the only one who could teach her the ways of God. She knew no one else who had the knowledge of the ways of the Israelites. She had come to appreciate the living God and his ways, despite all the hardship that had already befallen her. And she wanted to be with her mother-in-law. She wanted to live with her. And she continued to live with her even after she had gone to Bethlehem, even after she had made her friends with the other reapers in the field of Boaz. Still, she reaped in the fields during the day, but we're told in Ruth 2, verse 23, that she dwelt with her mother-in-law. This was her desire. This was her aim. And she committed herself to this. Not only where you go, I will go, but where you live, I will live. And this is a picture of how the Christian should desire always to be with Christ. Commitment to live in Christ's presence. Not to be content to spend some time with him, but never to be satisfied apart from his presence. The Christian desires to be with him. The psalmist in Psalm 27 and in verse 4 expresses it this way. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. This one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. The psalmist wanted to be with God, to be in the presence of God. This is what Ruth wanted. She wanted to be with Naomi, to be in her presence, to live with her. And this is what every Christian ought to want. Not simply be satisfied to feel his presence among other people on a Sunday morning, but wanting his presence Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, every day of the week and every moment of the day. Wherever the true believer is, he wants Christ to be with him. He doesn't just want to walk with him from time to time. He wants to live with him always. The big question for the Christian in whatever he does is Christ here with me now? One of the fads that has swept the United States and is here at the present is for young people to wear wristbands and other things with the letters WWJD on them. What would Jesus do? Well, it's a similar kind of question. Is Jesus with me now? In the thing that I am doing, could Jesus be with me now? Would I be ashamed to have Jesus with me now? You see, the Christian wants Jesus with him all the time, wherever he is, wherever he goes. What would Jesus do? Would he be happy with what you're doing now? Or has he left you? Have you gone into a place? Are you doing a thing that Jesus cannot accompany you there because it's sinful? It's abhorrent to him. The true Christian who is committed to live in Christ's presence wants to know, Christ is with me now. He would do what I'm doing. Thirdly, Ruth says to Naomi, your people shall be my people. And this is a picture of the Christian's commitment to join in Christ's family. You see, Ruth was leaving behind her all her family and her friends. She was taking no one else with her. There were Ruth and Naomi alone on this road from Moab to Bethlehem. But she realized that her commitment to Naomi didn't end there. She realized that it would mean a new set of relationships, other commitments over and above that to Naomi. She doesn't just say, where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. She doesn't say, I'm committed to you, Naomi, but I'm committed to your people as well. Your relatives will be my relatives. Your friends will be my friends. Your countrymen will be my countrymen. She's coming as a foreigner into Israel, but her desire is to be accepted as an Israelite. She promises to commitment to Naomi's people as well as to Naomi herself. She wants to adopt their customs and their laws, and she's going to give up her loyalty to Moab so that she will be loyal to Israel. Her affection will be upon the Israelites and no longer upon the Moabites. She has completely transferred her allegiance from Moab to Israel, from her father's house to Naomi and Naomi's house. And when a person becomes a Christian, they do a similar thing. They have to transfer their allegiance and their affection and their loyalty from this world and from their earthly families to God and to his family. Entering into a relationship with Jesus Christ, becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ, becoming a son or a daughter of God, means that you break with all earthly connections. Your loyalty is no longer to them, but to God. There must be a recognition of this new relationship, that it's even more important than the blood ties that we have here on earth. There are new values to adopt, which are alien to our family and our friends here on earth who do not know Christ. There are new loyalties to fulfill. There's a higher authority that we are to obey. This is a radical change that takes place when someone becomes a Christian. No wonder Jesus Christ called on his disciples to count the cost of following him. No wonder Naomi persuaded Ruth and Orpah to return to their own people. Look at the cost that this was to Ruth. She was willing to pay the price. But have we as Christians adequately counted the cost of being a disciple of Jesus Christ? In the freedom that we have in this country, it is all too easy to think that we can hold on to both this life and the next. To have our affections here on earth as well as those in the kingdom of God. It's a lot more difficult for those living in Islamic countries where they know that changing their allegiance, where they know that becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ may very literally mean that their own family will seek to kill them. That's the kind of attitude that we ought to have, though. To be willing to give up on everything that we hold dear in this world, in this life, in favour of following Christ. Because we still have temptations. We don't have someone threatening us with poisoning if we convert to Christ. But there are all sorts of subtle pressures put on us to compromise our witness, to not fully give ourselves to Jesus, to following him, to obeying him. But this is what God requires of us. A new set of relationships. God's people, God's family is now our family. And we must leave this earthly one behind. And then fourthly, Ruth says, your God will be my God. And it's a picture to us of the Christian's commitment to worshipping Christ's God. Now, I'm not making a distinction here and saying that Jesus Christ isn't God. I'm not saying that at all. Jesus Christ is God. But Jesus Christ also worshipped God while he was here on earth. He worshipped the Father. And he gave him the allegiance that he owed him as his son. And as a representative of his people. Ruth's commitment to Naomi was a commitment to Naomi's God as well. It was at the heart of Ruth's desire to follow Naomi. You cannot really understand why Ruth was willing to give up all that she knew and to follow Naomi unless you appreciate that Ruth's commitment was more to Naomi's God than to Naomi herself. And she expresses it here in these simple words, your God will be my God. Commitment to God and commitment to Naomi couldn't be separated in Ruth's mind. Any commitment to Naomi meant commitment to Naomi's God, while commitment to God required commitment to Naomi. But more than this, Ruth would have to renounce her old habits of worship and learn how to worship the living God. She wasn't simply going with Naomi and that she would then worship Naomi's God in her own ways, in the way that she used to worship Chemosh, the Moabite god. No, she was going to adopt all of the procedures that the Israelites followed in the worship of God. When she says, your God will be my God, she's saying a whole lot more than that. She's saying, I will worship your God in the way that you instruct me. He will be my God in the same way as he is your God. And that's what I mean when I say that the Christian must be committed to worshipping Christ's God. You see, when we become a Christian, we enter into a relationship with Christ. He is our Saviour. We enter a relationship with God, who becomes our Father. But we cannot go on as we did before. We cannot claim Christ's salvation without worshipping Christ's God in Christ's way. In other words, the way that we approach God must be according to Christ's directions, not our own ideas. We cannot say, yes, I'm a Christian, yes, I worship God, and do it our own way. Oh, I don't have to go to church to worship God. I can worship God at home. I can worship God on the mountains. You've heard people say that. You've read of people who have said that. But God tells us in his word that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. He tells us that we form a body, not individuals, but we're engrafted into this great body that is to serve Jesus Christ together. That we cannot be lone rangers, but we're united in this larger family. That's what just one aspect of the worship of God that God requires of us. Not according to our own understanding, not according to our own ideas of what is right, what is good, what is acceptable. We worship God as Christ's God in the way that Christ would have us worship him. The only way to come to the Father is through the Son, and we must be committed to that. And fifthly, Ruth said, where you die, I will die. Ruth's commitment to Naomi was lifelong. Nothing would separate them but death. But again, as with the others, Ruth is saying more than that here. Her commitment would endure as long as her own life lasted. She's not just committed to Naomi while Naomi lives. She says, where you die, I will die. Not, I'll stay with you as long as you're alive, but once you die, I'm back off home to Moab. No, her commitment is as long as she lives. As long as Ruth lives, Ruth will follow Naomi's ways. She will have her people to be her people, and her God to be her God. She would not turn back. She would not leave Israel. She is an Israelite indeed, who is an Israelite by faith. And this was Ruth. Ruth would die as she lived with Naomi's people and worshipping Naomi's God. And the believer's commitment to Christ is a commitment to die in Christ's service. In other words, never to end, never to give up, never to go back, always to be committed to Jesus Christ for as long as he or she lives. It is not enough to start well in the Christian walk. We have to finish. There are many who get a good start only to throw it away later. It's better to plod steadily from beginning to end and reach the finish than sprint away at the start at top speed only to crash out before the end. Paul stated in the passage that we read together in Philippians 3 verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's a goal to be reached. There's a finish line to be broken if we're to get the prize that God offers to us. We must persevere to the end. We must be committed to die in Christ's service, not to give up earlier, not to stop serving him earlier. We must constantly be walking in obedience to Christ and serving him right up to the day that we die. Only that can give us any assurance that we will be with Christ after we die. And this is what Ruth speaks about in this closing promise of the six that she gives to Naomi. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. Ruth promises Naomi that her commitment to her is so great that she will not only go with her and live with her, she will not only adopt her people as her own and worship her God, she will not only die as she lived among those people, but she would be buried with her beloved mother-in-law. Nothing would separate them, not even death. This was the kind of commitment that Naomi had. And this is the kind of commitment that Christians are to have to Christ. Commitment to unite with Christ eternally. Well, you may say Ruth's commitment was stretching it a bit, even to want to be united with Naomi in the grave. But you see what a picture it is to us as Christians. We want to walk with Christ. We want to live with Christ. We want his people to be our people. We want to worship Christ God as Christ did. We want to die in Christ's service. But we want to live with Christ. We want to be united with Christ forever. The believer's commitment to Christ goes beyond the grave and lasts for eternity. It could be said that true unity with Christ doesn't actually start until we die. In this life, all our service is tainted by sin. All our walk is marred by wanderings away. But when we've finished with this world, when we've died and gone to glory, then our service is perfect. Then our walk is without wandering. Then our life with God is unending. We're in his presence forever, every moment of every day. This is the sort of life that we long for. To be with Christ, untainted by sin, free from temptation, free from the weaknesses that we have to suffer here on earth. Is this what you want? Is this the kind of commitment to Christ that you have? In God's amazing providence, Naomi went into Moab and brought Ruth out from there to take her place in the history of Israel and in the history of salvation. And Jesus Christ came into this world to save his people from their sins, to free them from serving false gods, from serving self, to serving the living God, to enable them to walk with him to glory and there to dwell with him forever. He had to die as a substitute for the sinners he wished to save. This was the great thing that God had to do. He had to suffer at the hands of wicked men, but he did so because of his great love and his commitment to fulfill his promises to save his people from their sins. Christ was committed to his people. Will you, as one of his people, be committed to him? Are you ready to swear your allegiance to him? Ruth was adamant that what she said she would do. And as we see, she did it. She did walk with Naomi. She went where she went. She lived where she lived. Her people, the Israelites, became Ruth's people. Her God, Ruth's God. She died there in Israel, as far as we know. Her promises weren't empty words. And she even called on God there to be her witness. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. I mean this, Naomi. I'm going with you. Don't entreat me to leave you. May nothing part you and me, and may God come down with all his judgment upon me if I break my word. We're not in the habit of making vows, making covenants. It used to be common for people who joined churches to make covenants together as churches. Promises to act in certain ways, to do certain things. And they were bound by those promises, and they weren't taken lightly. And yet we hear so much, and we see so much around us of the easy believism that is rampant in this world. Make a decision for Christ. But people are called on to make a decision without knowing all that they'll have to do. The question is, having heard of the commitment, the level of commitment that Christ requires of you as his people, will you do this? Will you take this step? And will you covenant? Will you vow? Will you promise to God that Christ will be your all in all? You'll go where he goes. You'll live where he lives. His people will be your people. His God will be your God. That you will die in his service and you will be united with him for eternity. We must not treat Christ's sacrifice as something to be tried out and given back if it doesn't suit. It's not something to be taken lightly. It's something to be committed to with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our strength. Just as the first commandment is that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul and strength. May God help us and enable us to do this for his glory. Amen.